Hello, this is Janet Gallen welcoming you to Love Letters Live. And Love Letters Live is about just that, writing love letters and knowing that every experience in life holds within it the seeds of a love letter to somebody, either a thank you, either a come live with me, I love you and have never been able to say it out loud, I'm sorry for something, I wish I had done something different, you're the best person I've ever known. It doesn't matter what you want to say. Put it down, stamp it and mail it, and make somebody else's life richer. You will be guaranteed to bring a smile to somebody's face and a real wonderful feeling to somebody's heart if you send a love letter, and it doesn't have to be a long one even. So I want to go to today's guest, Laura Hoffman, who is my new neighbor and friend, and I am ever grateful to Miriam Muchkin, who has actually done two wonderful love letters with me, for introducing me to Laura. So, Laura, I want to go to you, and let's just talk about your life, because I know one of the really interesting things about you, I find, just in terms of love, is having moved 10,000 miles away from home to start life here.
Yeah.
So talk about you. Where are you from?
I was born in Johannesburg in South Africa.
Mm-hmm.
And my family of six, we relocated to Sydney, Australia when I was 3 years old.
And why was that?
I think it was just at a time when South Africa was really starting to become a very dangerous country.
Mm-hmm.
And my parents seized the opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
And we moved to a foreign place.
Mm-hmm.
Where they certainly didn't know many people.
Did you remember that move, looking at it now?
Bits of it.
Uh-huh.
Not very much, but that's the point. It was kind of seamless. And
because you were three and you were with your parents, and that was the same, I guess.
Yeah, and I just feel that looking back, my parents just made that mm-hmm. change, such a seamless
mm-hmm.
transition for us.
So really, where are you in birth order?
I'm the youngest of four.
Okay. So you had a lot of protection.
Yes.
Okay.
Very much so. And grew up in Sydney, Australia, and we had a beautiful life,
mm-hmm.
beautiful life there. And
what makes it beautiful life there?
The quality of life is amazing. We live sort of right near all the most beautiful beaches.
Mm-hmm.
Just the people that I've met,
mm-hmm.
the school that I went to. It was just a very nice upbringing, and I'm very fortunate for that. And Australia's a fantastic place.
Mm-hmm.
It's a little far from everywhere else in the world.
Yes.
And I think when you're young and you want to create change and do some exciting things, it's great to leave. But definitely a place to go back and raise
kids. You go a couple of times a year?
Yes.
Do you think you'll ever live there again?
I think definitely down the line. My husband and I, we grew up literally 750 meters away from each other our whole lives.
Uh-huh.
But never met until recently.
How did you meet him?
We were actually set up on a blind date, funnily enough.
In Australia?
In Australia.
Mm-hmm.
And we just had this parallel sort of life and upbringing, but only met recently.
Mm-hmm.
So it was really nice.
And you've been married for how long?
For 2 years.
Uh-huh.
So I think we definitely will down the line end up back there, but we're very happy in the States.
Yes. Now, I'm curious because I think it's a hard thing to do when you have a close family. I mean, I picked up and moved 500 miles away. And, you know, I felt like I was moving 10,000 miles away, just leaving all my family and friends. How hard was that for you, or was it not hard for you?
I think moving to a new country, new city, anywhere where you have to start your identity over from scratch is a really hard thing. And I can certainly say that I've had many moments of loneliness, of sort of alienation, of just that feeling of, wow, I have to start all over.
So how do you start all over again? I know it took me a long time. It takes a while to sink roots.
Absolutely. And that's the thing, you know, you've spent your whole life building up friendships and relationships, and you have to do it all over again, and it's exhausting.
Where do you start?
You know, for me, my disposition, I feel like I've got a confidence about me that I feel I can just go out there and explore. And
mm-hmm.
for me, that has been such a key thing. I've got an inquisitiveness where I want to go out, hunt for cool things. I collect vintage furniture. I want to find the coolest little cafe.
Mm-hmm.
I want to just sink my teeth into the heartbeat of that city. And I think I get a lot of that from the fact that I was born in South Africa. I always had this constant change and this hunger to explore new things.
You moved here because of your husband's work, right?
Yes.
Why don't you tell us what he does?
He works for the shopping center group Westfield. He's been there for many years. And
in San Francisco, that's the one on
Market
and 4th, right?
Yes.
Gorgeous place.
And so we met, and 3 weeks later, he had to leave Australia and relocate to Los Angeles. And we had this long-distance relationship for about 8 months.
Where you flew back and forth? He flew back and forth?
Yeah, a lot of back and forth. And
how long a flight is that?
14 hours.
Uh-huh.
Not bad, but it's just that changing time difference.
Well, it's not bad when you compare it to going to Mars, but it's still huge.
Absolutely.
For a date, it's a long way to go.
Absolutely.
Yes.
And, you know, it just got to the point where it was either make the move or it wasn't going to work. And, of course, you know, we took that risk and it really, really paid off.
Nice.
And I'm reaping the benefits now. So, love being in the States, but like I said, there's definitely been moments of that sort of starting over from scratch.
Do you have, I don't know if I asked this, I meant to, do you have kind of an automatic social life kicked in with his position at work and people you've met?
Not so much, because I think the people he works with are sort of older, and there were certainly events that we would go to together, but I think it was very much up to me to make our social life.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think
it usually is.
Yeah.
Yes.
For sure. And it took one person saying to me, got to get in touch with this one, and then that person introduced me to someone else.
Yes.
But it takes you following up and really putting yourself out there.
Oh, and you are very good at that, might I just say. Compliments to you, because when we were introduced via email, of course, I trust anything Miriam says, and if she said you're wonderful, I knew you would be. But you followed up with the warmest, most wonderful hello, and how eager you were to get together, and when it didn't work out that first couple of weeks. We both stayed in touch, but you made it so easy. By the time we met, I felt like we had known each other forever.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Well, I think for me, you know,
that's a talent of yours.
Well,
yes.
Thank you. Yeah, I just feel that I'm trying to sort of really navigate my way through these new cities and countries. And when you meet someone you sense could be someone that is really important to you,
yes,
or someone that
course.
Could really offer something special to your life, I'm going to go for it.
Yes.
Because I've got limited
time. A core
time.
Relationship.
Absolutely.
Rather than a situation. Tell me about your collecting vintage furniture, because I'm gathering this is a business of yours, and maybe people would like to know about it.
Well, funnily enough, it kind of happened very naturally. I've had to relocate quite a few times and change apartments and cities. And with that, you know, you have to build up an environment that reflects your home.
Mm-hmm.
And what I've come to realize is that even if you live somewhere for 3 weeks, you really have to create an environment that reflects who you are and be surrounded by pieces that make you happy. And I've really found ways of finding unique things on a budget very quickly, and I've created a really great collection for me, and friends started seeing me do it and asking me to do it for them, and it's become a real passion of mine.
Mm-hmm.
So I love nothing
more. What's the philosophy of that, being someplace even 3 weeks and wanting to create something that reflects you? I think it kind of speaks of the desire to feel a part of something all the time, never to be lost, actually.
Absolutely.
What do you say?
I think for me, it creates a sense of I'm here for a reason.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just this sort of vacuousness of me just being here because of my husband's work.
And you're in charge of your life.
Absolutely.
Oh, perfect.
And yep. There's a sense of ownership to it.
Mm-hmm.
And there is a reason why I'm here for myself. And it's exciting to me, the process of also going out there hunting, once again, meeting people. It's a great way for me to meet people.
I want to ask you what it is like being so far away from parents you love. What do you have to say about that? It must be complicated.
My parents and I have a very close relationship. We actually speak, I think, pretty much every day.
Ah, okay.
So, and it's very light conversations. It could just be for 5 minutes.
So it's not like, in some sense, it's not like it used to be when you were miles away.
Not so much. I mean,
you have each other's presence every day.
Absolutely. And my parents are not email tech people at all. So it's very much about the voice.
Oh, good. Okay.
And having real conversations. Both my parents don't even really have mobile phones. Like, they are very much about writing letters. My mum loves to write letters.
Oh, good. Oh.
And I know. So,
well, you know, I want to, it used to be, which I find so heartbreaking. And on the one hand, I'm glad we're past that, but it used to be, let's say in the late, early 1800s, when a person left home, the only thing, let's say a young boy or young girl left home to find his or her fortune elsewhere, left Poland, left Russia, left, it doesn't even matter, left China, the only thing that child could guarantee his parents was that they were never going to see him again.
So true.
It's heartbreaking.
So true.
And that was why don't forget to write, or write as soon as you get there. Oh, my goodness. Can you imagine? So today, if you can call, I was talking to somebody recently, Tamim Ansari, who's a friend and a guest and a wonderful writer, and he was talking about his new book, and he had just gone to Afghanistan, and he said he was out in the Nevermind areas where all he could see was the horizon from his car, and he picked up his cell phone and called San Francisco, clear as a bell.
Isn't that funny?
Yes.
Well, it's funny. My mom and I also just laugh, because even with the whole Skypes and Schmikes and all that stuff, yeah, we still do the old-fashioned telephone, even though it probably costs us a bloody fortune. We just, it's just that quick way of just getting
it. It doesn't cost what it used to.
I know. That's very true.
You know. And what about Skype? Do you ever do Skype or FaceTime? Or
we do, but it's just, once again, the coordinating of the time. It's,
well, it's, I mean, if you can call them, you,
yeah,
could do. But you know what the problem, I think, with FaceTime? Have you ever done it?
Not so much. No, not with my parents.
Okay. The problem with FaceTime is your face doesn't look like yours, and the other person doesn't look like the other person. So I don't know what you really get from it, but, you know, except that.
It's very true.
So how did your mother and father, separately or together, feel when you said, I'm moving to America?
I think they adore my husband. So they had every bit of faith in our journey together as a couple. So they really respected that and only wished us the best. Mm-hmm. But I think they definitely now want us to start thinking about coming back and children down the line, oi. Mm-hmm. And I do. For me, what makes me sort of sad is knowing that, you know, my parents are getting older.
Yes.
We are getting older.
Yes.
And, you know, they all, thank God, in fantastic health. And I would just hate to have missed out on those amazing years. So that's the only sort of bit of guilt that I kind of sit with at the moment, because we are enjoying our time here so much, but we miss them terribly. And it's the same with my in-laws as well.
Seems to me that if you miss somebody terribly, you have no reason to feel guilty. But, I mean, when you say guilt, you mean sorrow more than guilt?
Yeah, I think just a sadness of knowing about life and the life cycle. Like, I don't know, now that I'm already at the stage where I've got married and the next stage is kids, please God. It's just, it's really becoming apparent to me that life is moving fast.
Yes.
And when we spoke before about time,
yes,
that's when I really start thinking and feeling that. But also just thinking about things like kids, I'm really starting to reflect on my upbringing and how absolutely grateful I am for the parents that I have. And
you want your children to have those grandparents closer by?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And just having had this distance and time away from them, I think when you live in the pockets of everyone, you grow up in the same neighborhood, your parents are in the same city as you, you kind of, there's not enough room to really stop and reflect and be grateful and really notice what you've been given. I think you kind of start taking things for granted. And I don't know, I think when we spoke about me coming in and doing this, I definitely wanted to dedicate it to my parents because I feel so grateful for the upbringing that I've had.
And they come visit you.
They do. And same with my in-laws, who I adore as well. We go there, we go back to Australia once a year, they come here once a year. So it's really nice. There's enough one-on-one time.
Yeah.
And we really make the most of it.
So it's not at all like anybody's lost anybody.
No.
Like would have been even in 1924 or 1942.
Absolutely.
Or, you know, 50s when you would call a relative from Los Angeles to New York and have to scream can you hear me? Of course, we do that in cell phones too now, so I don't know where we've come. But
I think even with my dad, from what I can remember, his father died when he was very young, when he was in his 20s, and he was overseas traveling.
Mm-hmm.
And the only way word could get out that his father had passed away was through a telegram.
Yes.
And it was just, I can't even comprehend what
having
that.
To wait, not knowing immediately what befalls anybody, joys or sorrows.
It's just, can't fathom it.
So talk about your mother in letter writing.
She's just a scream. She's just got such a beautiful way of writing, and she loves doing it. She writes the most amazing birthday cards and thank you cards.
Oh, well, let's talk about, because all of these are love letters.
Absolutely. Yeah, she's just...
Anything that carries your love or expresses your love or appreciation of the other person. What makes her cards special? What does she add to them?
I just have definite memories of her whenever there was a birthday coming up, just watching her sitting there at nighttime and just sitting there and thinking and just really putting effort into it. So seeing her do that for others and seeing what I receive for my birthdays, it's just, I can just imagine the effort.
I love what you just said, because part of the workshop on love letters that I do is finding time by yourself to sit and think. And you just use that phrase, you watched her sitting and thinking.
Yeah.
And I remember that with my mother also. She would, once a week, sit at her desk, a desk I now have in my bedroom, and it was uninterruptible time, and somehow we knew that. She was writing to her mother, who lived in Canada.
Yeah.
And that was time not to be interrupted. That was like sacred time.
Yeah. And it was always at nighttime or quietly in her room. Mm-hmm. And
that's another perfect point for people who want to write love letters. You really cannot do a love letter justice if you start it while the pasta water is boiling or while your children, your young children, have just gone outside to play for a few minutes, because they'll be back with a skinned knee and you'll be interrupted.
Yes.
You have to have uninterrupted time to sit with your thoughts.
Yeah. I
love that you're saying this. Thank you.
Pleasure. I mean, I think that in the world that we live in today, everything's so rushed and everyone's so anxious. That,
yes.
I really remember that, because it's a complete antithesis.
Do you remember
to that.
Her face when she was writing letters? The look on her face, for example, if you do.
Just very focused.
Mm-hmm.
It was just more her silhouette, just sitting at this desk and just writing. And that's why I really think of my parents in such a happy way, because both of them represent something that's so different to what I feel today has become, which is all that go, 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 rush, rush, rush,
yeah.
Anxiousness, moodiness. Both of my parents are the most even-keeled people. I can't even express it.
How wonderful.
They just, I can't even remember a day that they were just moody and irritable and sort of screaming or anything like that. And I just,
what a wonderful genetic gift to you,
I think when you talk about, how does it feel being on the other side of the world, what I feel they've instilled in me and what I'm so grateful for is this ability to just be okay.
Yes, like that's just what I'm gathering. That's
just being okay and just going out and exploring. And
so it was kind of an anxiety-free upbringing.
Very much so. Very much so. They gave me enough love to feel supported and secure, but enough space to go do my own thing.
What did your mother look like?
Gorgeous.
I mean, I'm looking at you and figuring she's gorgeous, but yeah.
Stunning. Black hair, deep green, blue eyes, say natural, Janet.
Yes.
The blonde hair. And honestly, when you look at photos of her back in the day, Elizabeth Taylor, just so beautiful, and she still is to this day.
And your father?
He's gorgeous, so handsome, and so funny. I can't even express such a unique character. For as long as I can remember, he's always been at home. He worked on the stock market and still does.
Mm-hmm.
And they were both always at home.
Mm-hmm.
Always. So I feel privileged. I didn't know what that was like to have parents who were always away traveling for work or coming in and out and getting the nanny to make our dinners. Like they were just always there and present. And that, lucky am I?
Very, very. So I like the physical description. I'll tell you why. Not that it means anything, because beauty only, of course, goes skin deep. And I must say there are some gorgeous people where I don't think it goes that deep, so who cares? But in writing a letter, who are you going to write a love letter to right now?
To my parents.
Okay. Individually?
I think as a team, I think as parents, they just did such a fantastic job. So as parents, and because I'm thinking that, you know, I'm going to be embarking upon that stage.
Okay, so I see different kinds of love letters here right now. And I would just like to say that love letters, as you know, from the example of your mother writing letters, is not a one-shot deal.
Right.
It's a way of life.
Yeah.
So but when you said that, I'm writing to my parents as a team, that would be a really good reason to write one letter to both.
Yeah.
Why not? But there's also, they brought you different strengths and they have different qualities.
Yes.
And one of them, even just physical, does your mother know that you looked at early pictures of her and saw Elizabeth Taylor?
She does, because I...
You said that?
Yeah, and I went hunting through her drawers, and I always used to pull out all these, because I love vintage furniture, I love vintage clothing.
Yes, of course.
So to find these remnants of the past was so special to me. So she knows that I absolutely...
There's something about having that in writing, so when she's 90 and she needs to remember that, she can just pull that letter right out and reread it, even though you've told her. But, you know, sometimes what if your memory has gone a little bit?
Yeah.
When we're older, and rereading that letter is like a new message.
Yeah.
The value of that. I hope you'll do together and separate.
I definitely will.
Yeah. And specifics, you know, when you said what she looks like, everybody wants to be seen as attractive in some way or other. And so to specify.
Well, I think also the reason why I want to send in this letter is because I do have this distance from them and this ability to reflect, think back. I'm not in the small pockets of Sydney, Australia, where everyone's just plodding along, routine. And I do want them to know that I remember all these things.
That is it. The gift of having remembered is what makes a love letter. And, you know, you can't reread a phone call.
Yeah.
You can't reread a phone call, and you can count on your memory, but memory plays tricks. You know, sometimes you don't remember exactly something.
So I want them to know I remember the details.
Okay, so can you say what the specifics are that you will put in this love letter? Let's talk about that because the specifics are so important. You talked about the fact that your father was home.
Yeah, my dad was always so hands-on. So
in what way? So get, let's say, specific.
Just very fun and humorous.
Talk to you.
Very much so. Mm-hmm. Also, there was never a sense of pressure from my parents, ever, when it came to school exams and things like that. It was pure acceptance, full stop. And the jokes and the laughter, my dad would always play the yes or no game driving to school, which was just a game that we had. And it was just...
But that would be a really wonderful thing to put in a love letter, the yes or no game that we used to play, where you would, and then even describe it, and he'll know that you really were paying attention to the details. Oh, that is such a gift.
Definitely.
To get a letter that says one thing about you. You know, I remember the time you took me to school and you, whatever it is.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And my mom also, I mean, she would make dinner every single night. And the food is delicious.
Okay. Oh, wonderful.
So delicious.
So cooking is a wonderful thing to include in love letters because it's specific. What were your favorite dishes she made? And you put them in, right?
Yeah.
What were they?
I mean, it was so different every night. Her schnitzel, her baby chickens, her
Where was she
pastas.
Born?
She was born in South Africa.
Oh,
both
she was.
Of my parents
Oh, I
were.
See. Okay. So
So she just is a brilliant cook, and she still does. Mm-hmm. And, you know, she's amazing. So
what did she look like in her manner of dress and style?
She, you know, she's quite casual, but when she dresses up, she looks amazing because of that jet black hair, her jewelry.
Does she have favorite actors, favorite sorts of movies or music?
Well, you know, definitely a memory I have is watching The Bold and the Beautiful with her in the afternoons, coming home from school.
Oh.
And, I know, which is hysterical.
Soap operas, you mean?
Yeah, soap operas. And but also she loves all the big actors in Hollywood, and And that was fun for me when I was living in Los Angeles to take her to all the little haunts where I could show all the celebrities.
Oh, good. Oh, yeah, so I forgot about that. Yes.
A lot of fun. So it's just been a lot of fun.
Now, what about your sisters? Are there four sisters?
I've got two sisters and a brother.
Oh, two sisters and a brother. Okay. And where do they live now?
Two live in Sydney and one lives in Melbourne. So they're all in Australia.
Uh-huh. And are you in touch with them a lot also?
Yeah. I mean, you know, and this is also a testament to my parents. Mm-hmm. We're all so different.
Mm-hmm.
We all look different and we just all have different interests, but we're still very close.
Mm-hmm.
And we all live our own lives, but we also connect and we talk on the phone and email. So it's a really nice relationship.
Do you still have the letters that your mother's written you?
Yeah, I've definitely kept, especially, you know, being overseas, those birthday cards and very special.
And you know, when you write, this is something I know is true because I've seen it. And maybe, by the way, in your world of hunting for vintage things, people don't throw away love letters.
Yeah.
And every once in a blue moon, there's a pile of them in some, not an antique, but even like a, Salvation Army or Goodwill. And they are a door to history. You know, your great-grandchildren will find these letters someday and know something very important about them.
Well, just even with photographs, I have a great uncle here who I've always known about, but I've only really reconnected with him while living in San Francisco. He lives in Berkeley, and he's 93 years old.
Oh, my.
And he has been a doorway into my past. I can't even express, but it's been all through photos. He's got this collection.
What about a love letter to him to tell him that?
I would love to.
Oh, being 93 and getting a love letter.
Yeah, that's definitely something I need to do.
Uh-huh.
And also, actually.
And by the way, just a note. You're going to make so many people so happy. Go ahead. You actually what?
Well, I brought with me to give to you to say thank you for giving me this opportunity to talk. I found there's this gorgeous little boutique in San Francisco, and I had these amazing letters from France dating back to the 1800s, and just even the writing was to me just like a work of art, and that's in my letter to you.
Oh,
as well.
My goodness. Thank you. And look at this. Oh, this envelope is so gorgeous. Okay, I need a television show, somebody. It's beautiful. It's a white envelope, but the flap is kind of never mind. It's just gorgeous, and it's edged in mint green. So handwriting. I'm glad you mentioned that. Handwriting is the heartbeat.
Absolutely.
And every generation has different handwriting, just what you said.
And it's sad to admit, but I spend so much time on the computer. Yes. And that's become the norm for me. So when I do write, it's not as flowy as it used to be.
Mm-hmm. But it's yours.
Yeah.
So it's precious for that.
And I need to do it more.
Oh, good.
Absolutely.
Yes. You know, I heard, which just gives me hives every time I think about it, somebody told me, and I've heard it more than once, that many schools are no longer teaching cursive handwriting. Now, talk about arts in the school systems. I don't know how they could let that one go. It's so easy to include. But people don't use it so much. And the truth is, I can type much faster than I can write. But there's something about seeing it lay out on the paper in ink that is... Anyway, this mother was horrified that her son wasn't going to learn cursive. And he didn't care. They just weren't teaching. She said to him, I'm going to tell you something. If you learn cursive writing, you will be able to read the secret thoughts of grown-ups. And so he was on board.
Mm-hmm. Also, you remember things more. Like, I even remember when I used to study for exams. You know, it was just before the whole internet thing. And, you know, I would sit there and I'd write my essays.
Oh,
and you just remembered it so much more than when you type.
What a good point. You see it come out of your own flesh.
Yeah.
And it's more part of you. Oh, I like
so
that.
So innate. And you remember it. And it's not this... throwaway.
Thank you for saying that. That was just in time. Perfect. I want to thank you for doing this with me. It's been wonderful talking to you.
Thank you, Janet.
Please remember, if you think you have to wait for a special occasion to write a love letter, that writing a love letter is a special occasion. Bye.